Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. Wow, what a week, what a month it has been. I feel like we are doing the amount of work that could have taken us years in a matter of days right now. I mean, we are seeing our collective shadows. We are coming face to face with our deepest fears. We are seeing such beauty and unity and also such sadness and pain. And it really is the full human experience right in front of us that we have just kind of feeling like we've just been thrown into, though, if we really tune in, that this has actually been, you know, bubbling underneath the surface this entire time. And now we're coming face to face with the aspects of ourselves and society that we have been in avoidance of. So I'm not going to get totally into it in this episode because I've done my past three solo casts about it, but keep riding the waves, keep staying true to your heart. Right now is the greatest awakening that has ever happened in human history. You know, we've been talking about this for such a long time, and it's here. It's here. This is the time for us to really look within and to question all of our decisions, all of our choices, all of our assumptions, identities, beliefs. You know, who are we at a soul level? This is really the time for us to really look into that. And so many of us have just been so busy in our day-to-day lives, going from, you know, one job to one appointment to one meeting to one dinner out, etc., picking up your kids at school, taking them to after school. You know, the list goes on. We've been so busy that we haven't given ourselves a chance to ask us ourselves why. And really, this is coming up for all of us right now. You know, we're really taking a look at what our schedules once were and saying, well, is this how I want to spend my time? Is this best serving me? Does this make sense? And we're able to look so deeply within it so we can make the best choices for how we want to move forward. So everyone right now, regardless of if you are in the service industry and are unemployed, or if you are a CEO who has maybe had to lay people off, or you are a mom who's worried for your parents and your kids, or any age, any nationality, any income group, etc., is feeling it. Any part of the world is feeling it. And this really is an opportunity for global oneness. You know, like, when in the history of time have we all felt the same thing at the same time? And that makes us aware. That makes us aware that, wow, I'm not going through this alone. We're all in the same giant boat together. And how are we going to maneuver through these waters? We just came across a storm. And now how are we going to move forward? How are we going to make our ship stronger, make our crew stronger, make all systems more aligned, so when we get out of the storm, we are more in direction to our true north than ever before. So I've been sharing a lot on my downloads of this on the podcast, on my Instagram, and then also in, if you really want my inside scoop of all of the things that I'm feeling, that's in Rose Gold Goddesses, which is my sacred sisterhood collective, a membership community of 2,000 spiritual women who are literally right now, I swear, we are just saving each other's lives. We are sharing, you know, I've run out of, you know, this like household product. How can I make it with like coconut oil? To how are you coping with family members right now? To let's talk about something else besides the coronavirus and everything in between. So Rose Gold Goddesses has been like a saving grace. I swear the reason why Source told me to create this membership community last September when it launched was for this experience that we're in right now. The fact that we can't have physical community around us, the fact that we are in self-retreat, aka quarantine right now, the fact that this awakening is happening and we need support, we need content, we need discussions, we need people who have been on this path before, who can guide us through, and all of that and so much more is available for you in Rose Gold Goddesses. So we've opened doors back up because there was such a high demand for people who are like, can I please join now? I really need the community. I was too busy before and now I really need it. So we have all my master classes in there, all my talks, you know, my Discover Your Dharma 10-day workshop, my talks at Facebook and Google, my Awaken Your Powers master class with Shaman Durek. If you sign up for annual, you get my Sex Money Magic class with Alexandra Roxo. Each of those classes is worth $500 alone. And this membership community is extremely affordable. I made it $29 a month if you are month to month, and down to $19 a month if you sign up annual with the extra $1,000+ of bonuses. So we've open doors back up to support you at this time. So if it is resonating with you, you are craving a conscious community, you want support, you want to not waste your time on Instagram. You know, I deleted the Instagram app today. I was like, I need a day off of this because everyone is just fear vomiting. No one knows what's happening. No one knows what to say. So they're just like spilling all of their like guts here, and it's not making anyone feel better, and it's not giving anyone a clear path or direction on how to move forward. So Rose Gold Goddesses is like high vibrational. It's our very own social network. We post everything like on a social network, but it's the kind of content that you actually want to read, the kind of content that's supportive. And so many of our members right now are doing member-led workshops on creating financial abundance at this time, breath work, overcoming anxiety, human design, sharing your story, so much more. So this is truly like a no-brainer. If you are someone that listens to this podcast, it is the podcast on steroids. Like imagine like being in this podcast in a world where there's other people interacting with you. And that's what you get in Rose Gold Goddesses. So again, head over to rosegoldgoddesses.com. You'll find that link in the show notes. And I'm so excited to meet you inside. So let's talk about finding your calling. You know that this is a topic that I am so passionate about. My new book, Discover Your Dharma, which is out next January, is on this. And I'm always looking for people with unique perspectives on how to find your dharma, your purpose, your calling, whatever it is that you choose to call it. So I came across Ra Goddess and I was like, okay, she is definitely a sister from another life because first of all, her name is Ra Goddess. So hi, let's be friends. And also, what she really works with is helping people find their calling. So I found out about her because she was actually Gabby Bernstein's life coach for 10+ years, really helping Gabby navigate, you know, to be on the path that she's in today. So I was like, okay, of course, this woman's got some good juju. And then I listened to her talks and I just loved her energy. I loved everything about her. And I know you are too. So in this episode, we talk about her new book, The Calling, which is really her unique blueprint on how to find your purpose. So she has a methodology, which she calls stay true, get paid, and do good. So we talk about all three of those, how to stay true to who you are, how to get paid for what you do, and how to do good in the world. Because what I really love about Ra Goddess's perspective is it's all about activism. You know, we do good in the world so we can be of service. And I really resonate with that because I think a lot of times we're so focused on, you know, finding our purpose just for ourselves or finding it just to make money. And it really naturally becomes something that you do to be of service to the world. And that fuels you up. And that really is what makes it all worthwhile. So we talk about all of this. We talk about different roadblocks that you might experience. You know, I am always in communication with you guys about what obstacles are you dealing with in finding your dharma, your purpose. And I tried to ask as many of those as I could to her to really offer you the greatest perspective because I know so many of you guys are on a shift right now. You know, maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're reconsidering what you do, etc. So this is a really good time to listen to this episode on really thinking about your calling and what it is that you are here to create and cause in this world. So without further ado, let's welcome Ra Goddess to the Highest Self Podcast. And before we get started, I have an announcement for you. Oh my goddess, sister queen, I am so excited to share with you that Rose Gold Goddesses is officially open. We are accepting new members for the most high vibe community on the interwebs and in real life as well. What Rose Gold Goddesses is your sacred sisterhood collective. We have our very own app with all types of content to support you on your spiritual journey. From all of my masterclasses, I upload content specifically for Rose Gold Goddesses, from manifestation to launching a podcast to writing a book and everything in between to support you on your journey of becoming your highest self. There are thousands of like-minded women who are there to connect with you, whether you want to meet up for a cup of ceremonial cacao or talk about your dharma or whatever it is that you need support with at this time. Rose Gold Goddesses has got you. Consider it your spiritual gym membership with all things to support you on your journey of becoming your highest self. So you can come join us at rosegoldgoddesses.com. Again, that is rosegoldgoddesses.com, and we are so excited to welcome you in. Welcome, Ra, to the Highest Self Podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Sahara. It's my joy to be here.
The first question I'd love to ask you is, what makes you your highest self?
I think it's my commitment to my relationship to Source. You know, whether we call it God, Spirit, you know, all of the other names, Elohim, right? Allah, my commitment to being in consistent communion with what I call the all-providing Source or Spirit of God is absolutely what invites me into and allows me to radiate and express from my highest self.
Love that. So beautifully said. And I think that that's the universal thing that brings us all together, knowing that we're plugged into this global antenna and can always tune back into it for guidance.
Yeah, for sure.
Beautiful. Well, you just wrote a book called The Calling and you have done so much work on helping people really find their message, their why. And this is a huge topic that we talk about on Highest Self Podcast. A lot of listeners are those healers. They are those coaches, even if they're not doing it professionally. They're that friend that people come to when they have a problem, but they don't really know how or if it's really possible for them to make a career doing it. They suffer from imposter syndrome. So I'd love you, you know, if you were speaking to maybe your 25-year-old self who had that passion within you, but maybe had the fears, what would you say to her?
Yeah, I mean, so many things, given what I've learned. But I think the first thing and the first thing that I see that people struggle with is our perception of ourselves. And our relationship to ourselves, you know, so you mentioned imposter syndrome. There's this question about whether or not we're worthy. It's a question about whether or not we're capable. This question of whether or not we're smart enough. You know, it's sort of like fill in the blank enough. And so the first thing I would say is really creating time and space to strengthen and deepen our relationship with ourselves. And in that, giving ourselves permission to be really clear about who we are. And to be really clear about what we want. You know, so a lot of what I experience when people come to me and, you know, sometimes they're in the, you know, the very aspirational, I want to do this, 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 right? And then I'll say, are you sharing it? Or are you talking to people about it? Well, no. You know, it's like this big secret. And we're on some level almost apologetic about what we want to be doing, especially when it's really, really important to us. And so the first thing, you know, I want you all to know, those of you who are listening, is that whatever you're seeking is seeking you. And whatever you're feeling inspired to want to pursue, whatever you're feeling inspired to want to explore, there's a reason why it's pulling on your soul or tugging on your spirit or nudging your heart. And that is because it belongs to you. It is yours to do.
So beautifully said. Your dreams are always dreaming you back, and there's no coincidence that they're there. So I'd love to talk about your three-step process of how to, you know, take that calling and get paid for it. And how does that work?
Yeah. So the way that the book is organized is it really is designed to address what I've seen as being the top three concerns. So what are the top three reasons why, right, people don't lean in? And we talked a teeny bit about, you know, the first concern, which is who am I, you know, and this idea of worthiness and, you know, our capacity and are we enough and what are we capable of or not capable of and all of the messages that have ultimately shaped and molded our image of ourselves and the way that we perceive ourselves. And so being willing to actually lean into this question of, you know, what is the gap between who I see myself as and who I think it is I need to be in order to actually say yes to what it is that I'm here to do in the world, right? The second concern that people grapple with, of course, is how will I pay the rent? you know, and that's often the number one reason that has people sit down. So it's like, you know, if I don't see an immediate monetary pathway, I then question the merit of the idea. I question the merit of the impulse. And often I will put whatever that passion is, whatever that aspiration is, on the back burner because I can't figure out how to be sustainable in it. And then the third concern that people grapple with is, can I really make a difference? You know, we have a perception about the state of our world and where we think our world is and the degree to which we think it's safe and wonderful, beautiful world, and the degree to which we think it is a dangerous, perilous and dark world. And our ability to grapple with this sort of ingrained apathy and resignation and the degrees to which we're successful in that, you know, can we really, do we really have what it takes? Will our efforts really bear fruit when we look at the things that are most important to us that we really want to be moving the needle on, right? And so in the book, not only do I acknowledge these concerns, but I take you through a 6-step transformative protocol around each of the respective concerns. So there's a stay true transformative process, there's a get paid transformative process, and there's a do good transformative process. And in each of those processes, the journey takes you from the stay true side, from victim, like, you know, sort of life by default, to being a conscious creator of what it is that you really want to have and who it is you really want to be in the world. On the get paid side, from scarcity, from the culture of there is not enoughness, to a place of abundance, which is this idea of sufficiency and beyond, like, and us really aligning with the truth of what we want and us aligning with the truth that we are connected to a source that is all providing, right? And all sustaining. And then the do good journey is moving people from the place of fear or apathy, resignation, to the place of love. You know, in other words, we have so much more capacity for anything when we can stand in love versus fear.
I love that so much. And it's so true, just the different, you know, concerns. And I think sometimes we think, oh, I'll find my purpose and everything's good. And it just opens up, you know, new questions to then discover at that level. So I'd love to dive into all three. So I think a lot of listeners right now are at that first stage of, I don't really know what that thing is. And a lot of people are interested in many different topics. I remember myself, I was like, should I write a book? Should I start a jewelry line? Should I start a skincare line? And it was like completely different paths, completely different things and different aspects of my personality. So if you are someone who is multi-passionate and maybe feels a little bit of like commitment phobia when it comes to that one thing and that being your life's work, how do you find that thing and not run away from it once it starts getting somewhere?
That's a great question. The first thing you want to do is really create space to listen. You know, just like to your point, often when people come, they have the vehicle really clear. I think I want to do a course, I want to write a book, or I want to run a retreat, or I want to, but it's kind of like, okay, so let's step all the way back and ask, what's the difference you want to make? What's the contribution you want to make? What is it that you want to express through the vehicles that you're thinking about or choosing? And is there a place where when we get to the essence of who you are, those qualities, those gifts converge into something very unique? And so, you know, I often say to people, it's not necessarily about whether you should write a book or launch a jewelry line, but it's rather about, what's the difference that you're really wanting to make, or what's the way in which you most want to be expressed, and what's at the center of that? Like, what are the elements or the qualities or the design of what's at the center of that? And then when you think about that, then the question becomes, what feels like the way that you may want to be expressed first, right? Because I always say, you know, you can choose one, or you find the beautiful alchemy of all of the intersection of all of those potential talents and gifts. And then what you're offering is something innovative and unique and multifaceted. So there's, you know, don't be afraid of your multifacetedness. It's more about understanding what's the urge or the impulse underneath that's causing these aspects of you to want to be expressed.
100%. And I think that those different aspects of you, like maybe you want to write a book and then also start a skincare line. Maybe you write a book about skincare, or you like bring the two worlds together, but they're not coincidental. And also what I've realized is not everything I love has to become my business. Mm-hmm. I thought like, oh, well, I love doing yoga, so I should become a yoga teacher, but I don't love teaching yoga. So there's a difference between, you know, doing something as your life's work and doing something for pure enjoyment.
Yeah. And I think that's a great distinction. And it's why I sort of asked the question, what's the contribution you want to make? Because, you know, to your point, you might say, I love yoga and this is, it's all about me and my body and my health and my wellness, which enables me to do all of the other things that I want to do. The distinction that I often make between something that you're just quote unquote passionate about and something that you're really here to do is there is the deep seated urge to share it. So there's something about not just your ability to have it, not just your ability to experience it or your ability to do it, but a deep, deep desire to share it and share it with others in a massive way.
I love that so much. That desire to share is so innate in us about something. And it's just finding what that something is. So I think a lot of people right now are working, you know, maybe a 9-to-5 job, and there's that thing that they're interested in doing, but to do it, they have to, you know, essentially be working at night or on the weekends, and they feel like they can't really have that work-life balance, the self-care lifestyle, et cetera. And they're not sure if they're willing to sacrifice that to, you know, take that thing off the ground. What advice do you have around that?
I think it really comes to what's really important to you. And it's amazing to see when we ask that question, sometimes how much people actually take pause, because it's not a question we ask ourselves a lot. Like, what do I really, really, really want? Or what is really, really, really important? And a lot of us, we hang out in the vagueness because it's safer. Because if I ask that question, I may really need to be thinking about the job I'm currently working. Or if I ask that question, I may need to really tell the truth about the relationship I'm in. If I ask that question, I may really need to be considering how I am spending my time. You know, so I think the opportunity here is not about pressure, but it is about priority, and it is about values, and it is about, you know, when you start to consider how you want to spend your time, and when you start to consider what it is that you want to be contributing to the world, and the way in which your time either aligns with what you want to be contributing or not, you know what I mean? Then you may start to make some different considerations. I think this myth about you needing to kill yourself to follow your passion and purpose is mythology. You know, I think it's, you know, maverick-based entrepreneurial mythology. And I think some people, you know, aspire to that or get, you know, excited about that, or the part of them that is adventurous or risk-taking wants to lean into that. But I also find that many people want to work in a different way. They want to work in ways that are much more elegant, much more aligned, much more forgiving and loving to the mind and the body and the spirit. And so it isn't just what you're pursuing, but it's also what's the quality of your experience as you're pursuing it. So the balance is great. And, you know, what is going to contribute to your fulfillment is also maybe a question you want to be asking, or what is the highest and best use of your talents may also be a question you want to be asking, especially if you know that you are interested in making a difference in the world.
I love that so much. And I think a lot of people, we just assume like, oh, my values are, you know, to be a good person, but we don't actually define them. And when we don't know what they are, we're not making decisions based on them. So what practices do you have for people to really define what their core values are?
Yeah. In the book, I actually take you through a series of guided reflections and an exercise that is around developing what I call your live, love, lead declarations. And I define success as being a function of alignment. So, you know, and it, for me, it's important to say this because, you know, traditionally, when we look at the way that success has been defined, it has often been defined by people who have a bunch of stuff or people who are perceived to be really good at stuff. But I make a distinction between those people and people who I have seen or experienced who have real success, which I mean is whole self success. In other words, they're operating and moving from a context that really guides how they live and they move and they have their being, and there's integrity and there is cohesion and how they operate and move in the world. And so in the book, I take you through this process where we actually do look at your values. And I do ask you to think about what really is important, and to create room and space to really answer the question. Because I think sometimes what happens is we get really comfortable in the, I don't know. And then it's like, well, pass the cheese. Right? And we're on to the next thing. But I feel like there will come a time for all of us in our growth and our evolution, if it isn't in this moment, where we get tired of going through the motions. We get tired of faking it. We get tired of skating along the surface. And we're actually looking for real, meaningful, in-depth experiences that leave us way more fulfilled and leave us more connected to the truth of who we are. And so your values and your principles are the beginnings of that sort of compass, right? That guide, that foundation that begins to invite this new level of alignment between what it is that you really want to have and want to experience in your life, what it is you really have to offer and what it is that you want to bring, and then ultimately the difference that you want to make, the contribution that you want to make in the world.
I love that so much. And I went through it myself and it really made me think, because sometimes we just operate based off of thinking we know what our values are, but it's important to continue to go back to it because our values do shift, you know.
Yeah.
Different stages in our lives may make different things more important to us. So it's important to always go back and look at, you know, maybe something in my business was serving me at a certain point and now it's not, as we continue to learn more about ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. We are changing and evolving all of the time. And so this opportunity to stay awake at the wheel of our own evolution is incredibly important.
And I think that changing is also what makes people feel like they're failing, because they feel like, you know, I launched maybe a brand around who I was at this point of time, but that's not true to me. But now if I change it, I'm going back to square one. Mm. So what recommendations do you have for people who are at a transition point? Maybe they're going from one type of coach to another, or one career to a next.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, it's all about the listening, you know, and the degree to which you're in tune with what the contribution is that you want to be making. So, you know, what I'm always interested in is what's inspiring the pivot. And what we need to be mindful of is sometimes what inspires the pivot is our comparing ourselves to somebody else, and our feeling like we want to be hip and cool and in and in the know. And you know what I mean? In other words, we're chasing all of the external, you know, shiny things, right? Or all of the external trappings without really coming into the depth of ourselves. And so often when I have the opportunity to work with people, they have maybe been flitting from X to Y to Z to P to Q. And they don't, you know, at some point, then they're kind of like just lost. Like, I have no idea what it is, right? Or we're following somebody else's opinion about what we should do. And sometimes the input of our friends is a great thing, but sometimes when we're formulating and we're incubating and we're really giving birth to the core of our work, that's about you and you time and you being able to create that time to really listen and be in communion with your own highest wisdom about where you're being guided and where you're being called. If you're transitioning, like let's say you've done something for a lot of years and it feels like genuine, organic growth and evolution for you, then it's about honoring where you feel guided and being willing to allow yourself to figure it out as you surrender to whatever you feel this next impulse is. So, you know, the imposter syndrome often has us be very addicted to perfectionism. So a lot of us don't even start, because it's not all buttoned up and it's not all perfect. Or God forbid, we would be a work in progress, transitioning into, evolving into, and growing into the next phase of what it is that we're giving. But the opportunity is actually to surrender to that, to know that that's natural and normal. And in fact, I believe that the most impactful contributions come from this willingness to allow ourselves to be in the lab around what it is that we're creating, experimenting, innovating. We get the best ultimate outcomes when we give ourselves that kind of permission.
I love that so much. And I think it all comes down to ourselves and who we are at this moment, and then letting our life be a reflection of that.
Yeah.
So I'd love to talk a little bit about motherhood. I know a lot of moms out there listening feel a bit of guilt, you know, going after their calling when they feel like now their life should be focused on their children and their children's calling, and it's too late for them. What do you have to say to mothers?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's never too late. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what stage of life you're in, it's never too late. The calling will continue to find you in all the frontiers, right? I think for our moms, yes, there is a lot of guilt around our ambition, you know, and is it okay to want for myself, you know, when I also have now an additional life that I'm responsible for, whether I'm able to raise that child in full partnership or whether I am going it on my own. And I think the greatest contribution that you can ever make to your children is to be in the truth of who you are, to live a life that honors and upholds and uplifts what is important to you, to demonstrate and be an example, you know, which is a lot of what I'm starting to hear more moms say is, you know, is I'm not just doing it for me, but I'm doing it for him or I'm doing it for her because I want to actually be the living example of what is possible. And I think the more that we can be in the fullness of who we are, the more we have to contribute to our loved ones, right? Whether they're our children or our mates or our extended family, you know, our capacity and our ability to honor our full potential is what gives us more to give and more to bring to the party. So, you know, this idea that you have to trade, and I talk a lot about this in the book, Sahara, right? This idea that we have to trade is so much of what's been ingrained for us, right? Whether it's love for money or free time for your dream, or you feel what I mean, or children for your career, you know, it's always about the trade-off. And I say, you know, I was in a conversation with one of the many mothers that I've had the privilege to coach and work with. And she's like, you know, you can have it all. And I said, well, you know, maybe you can't have it all, but you can have what matters. And the opportunity is to really get grounded in what matters to you as you consider the wealth of what you have to offer and what it is that you want to model and you want to demonstrate and you want to show and you want to give and bring to your child.
I love that so much. You always have time for what matters. And I think we have to get rid of the expectations of what maybe we've grown up that a mother is. Like, a mother is someone who sacrifices, who puts herself last, who is always there for any need of her child, anytime around the clock. And when you're following your calling, there are, you know, some sacrifices that have to be made, but they're for the greater good of the whole, including your children. And it takes realizing that oneness and that interconnectivity and knowing that if you don't go after it, you'll just be resentful.
Yeah.
And your kids will feel that.
And I think this whole conversation about sacrifice, like I challenge it on some level, right? Because, you know, the whole intention of when you quote unquote give something up is that you give something up in service to something greater, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there's a way in which sacrifice has been baked into our mythology that's around painful struggle, painful deprivation, painful achievement, right? Striving over compensation. And I want to invite us to engage in a more liberated way. You know, like, we don't have to struggle and suffer. You know, I say that there's needless suffering and then there's purposeful suffering. Purposeful suffering is about the growth and the evolution. And sometimes there are things we need to shed. Sometimes there are ways we need to step out of our comfort zone in order to really go to the next level of our evolution. But there are sometimes where we struggle needlessly. We get stuck in conversations or stuck in habitual loops or stuck in particular thought patterns or behavioral patterns that we're turning ourselves inside out for nothing. Right? And our ability to see that on a fundamental level, so many of us are struggling with the belief that we deserve to be happy and we deserve to be fulfilled. And so the happiness, we'll only willing to engage the happiness to the degree to which we can have the drama around it. And that's a place that we get to heal because we deserve to have goodness And we deserve to have ease. We really do.
Yes. Yes. And choosing, I think we all were just have been brought up that growth comes from pain. I have to suffer to learn. So we're like, I need to grow. So let me look for how I can suffer. And we become addicted to that. And, you know, there is an element of, you know, shedding out of that cocoon, which feels uncomfortable. But what if we choose that that uncomfort is joyful, that is blissful, that does actually feel really good? It's like working out, you know, like you could say, oh, this hurts, or you could be like, this feels really good and invigorating and energizing.
Yeah, or this hurts, but I understand what's available to me on the other side of it.
We'll take a quick break so I can give a shout out to our sponsors. Are you that person that all your friends and family members come to when they need wellness advice? Are you constantly looking up new ways to heal and balance your mind, body, and spirit, including listening to this podcast? Well, have you ever considered having a career becoming a holistic health coach where you get to decide your own hours, work with people, tackling the subjects that you are the most passionate about, and having financial freedom along the way? Well, I'm so excited to be teaming up with my very own alma mater, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, to offer their biggest discount yet. You'll receive $2,250 off tuition, an extra bonus that they're offering just with my Highest Self podcast listeners on how to launch your dream book. This course is going to get you super clear on what your book is about and how to bring it out into the world. I've created a webinar for you on how to have a thriving business as a health coach. So using social media, creating passive income, how to have a wait list of clients and become the best known coach in your niche with raving testimonials. Tickets to a live upcoming IIN conference where I will be meeting you over there. Super excited to connect. And a bundle of all digital wellness guides like Ayurveda, self-love, whole food eating, etc. So all you have to do is head over to my show notes. You'll see the link over there. It's a little bit.ly link. It'll take you right there. You'll be able to receive a sample class, check out the curriculum, get all your questions answered. And I'm so excited to have you on this mission, raising the vibration of the planet together as a health coach. Again, head over to my show notes. You'll see the link right there, and I'll see you inside. A lot of us don't feel comfortable going to supermarkets right now, and cafes are closed, which means we aren't picking up green juices or even buying fresh produce as often. But right now, it is more important than ever before to keep our immune systems high, especially with greens and superfoods. I've been drinking Organifi Green every single day, and it's been a goddess send. It contains immune-boosting ingredients like moringa, chlorella, spirulina, wheatgrass, ashwagandha, turmeric, lemon, mint, and so much more. It takes only 1 minute to add into my water, and I feel so good knowing that at least I got my greens in for that day, which frankly, I may not have had otherwise. I've also sent it to my family members to keep them healthy at this time too. You can receive 20% off your Organifi at Organifi.com using coupon code Sahara. Again, that's Organifi, Organifi.com using coupon code Sahara, and that link is in the show notes.
So sometimes we do have to sit. You know, that's why I said needless suffering and purposeful suffering. Sometimes we do need to sit in some harder things. And it is okay to be uncomfortable. And it is okay to feel feelings that aren't always joy and light and fun. Our capacity to be able to face all of the shades and the textures and colors of life is also part of our power. And we don't need to run from that. You know, so, you know, I think our opportunity in terms of the journey is to recognize, so it's not a prerequisite, but it also isn't anything to run from if we understand and can be in touch with the fact that we are being served. Yes. As uncomfortable as it may be, we're getting deeper to the truth. We're getting closer to how we really feel. We're getting closer to the kinds of relationships and opportunities that are really going to take us where we want to go and where we want to be.
Yeah. And I see both us also, like when it gets uncomfortable, and uncomfortable conversation that we need to have, because, you know, finding your calling is going to require redefining some relationships in our lives. So what do you do, you know, when you feel like you're kind of growing out of your tribe, your surroundings, you're engaging in different type of thought patterns that they may not be used to, and they may be saying you've changed in a negative way and holding you back. And you might feel some guilt too for feeling like you're outgrowing them. How do we cope with that?
Yeah. So I think the first is you have to tell the truth about it. And I always say it's not, you know, because sometimes we get stuck in this narrative of, oh, I'm leaving people behind. And that can have an element of sort of hierarchy and superiority in it. So just want to be mindful. But we do change, grow, and evolve. And there are times when we are in experiences or in community where it feels aligned. And there are times when we're in community and experiences where it doesn't feel aligned. Has nothing to do with them, everything to do with where you are. So it's really taking responsibility for like, wow, I'm in a different place, you know, and you still may love those people and you still may on some level want to stay connected to those people. But when you're in a growth cycle or when you're in a really what I like to call an incubating state or a birthing state, you want to be in an environment that is conducive to what you're trying to birth. And conducive to what you're trying to grow. You know, you need water and sunshine when you're growing into those new ways of expressing and being. And yes, sometimes your friends can give you slack about it because you may occur to them as being different. And I think, you know, in those moments, you get to tell the truth about how you feel about them. You also get to tell the truth about where you're at. Like, this is not about you. It's really about what I'm experiencing, what I'm journeying through. And I feel like I owe it to myself to surrender to wherever I'm being called to next. Or I owe it to myself to do this work here on me, right? So that it's not about a threat to you. It's not about an animosity, a feeling of animosity to you. And then people will choose. Some people will choose to lean in. Other people will choose to fall away. And that's not yours to control. Though I understand it can often be a concern, that's a place where we also have to be courageous and trust that those who are for us will lean in. Those who may not be, you know, sometimes reason, season, lifetime, right? Some seasons we lean in, some seasons we lean out. So to also know that life is cyclical and it moves in funny ways and that you can trust the ebb and flow, however it chooses to reveal itself.
Now, what if these people are your family? I know for myself, my biggest obstacle was my family being so afraid of me choosing this path because they had never seen anyone do it before. So they felt like I'd end up homeless. And a lot of listeners right now, their parents are like, you're going to go do what? Like, where is the security in that? So how do you cope with your own family really passing along their fears to you, which can also make you hesitant about your own choices?
Yes, a great question. So the first thing I would say is to see it as an outgrowth of their love for some parents, right? Now, the truth is we all don't come from the same circumstances. So in some cases, we have to acknowledge that some of us do come from toxic circumstances. And in those particular cases, you have to make decisions about boundaries, you know, small doses, and in some cases, maybe not at all, depending upon the nature of what you're dealing with. And I think, you know, though we may intuitively know this, we don't explicitly say enough to recognize that just because you share blood with someone doesn't necessarily always mean that they have your best interests at heart. And that's a tough thing to say. That's a tough thing to face and a tough thing to be with. So, you know, as much as you may come from an environment where people who have birthed you or come from an environment where people share your bloodline, you still have the right to be in full presence of mind and body and spirit when you're choosing about where you spend your time, where you spend your effort, where you spend your energy. It is not your job to fix your mother or your father. It is not your job to fix your brother or your sister. It is your choice should you decide to love them and make choices based upon how they show up in the context of the relationship to the degree to which they get in time or out time, right? Now, when it's coming from a place of love and concern, the opportunity is to really hear, I love you. You know, I'm working with a client one day and she's like, my mother's like, but I'm so worried. And this is, so I said to her, every time your mother says that, I want you to really hear, I love you. I'm concerned about you. I want to know that you're okay. I want to know that you're safe. You know, so rather than having them become the enemy to the dream or the enemy to the aspiration, to recognize that they are expressing their love and concern the best way that they know how, right? And so the first thing is to see that and to know that. The second thing is to really continue to stand in what is important to you. So I appreciate the love and concern, and I'm really feeling called to this. And I'm really feeling like I want to explore this. I can always get a job, right? If that's the concern, I can always get a job, mom, right? Or I can always do X, Y, or Z, or I can always do PDQ. But at some point, you need to be out in the world. And at some point, every single one of us has got to learn how to stand on our own two feet, you know, and to engage with those who love us and who are concerned about us with love and compassion for them and love and compassion for ourselves. And that we make sure that both are operating so that we can really hold our ground when and however and wherever and whenever we need to.
So good. And I love that. I'm going to do that too. Next time my mom is like, the coronavirus and this and that, I'll just hear, I love you. I love you. Because that's really... hear. Really what it is. Right. Yes. Right. So I want to talk about the get paid phase. I think a lot of the fear of why people aren't going into it is because they feel like they won't be able to support themselves doing what they love. And it feels like they're too late in the game and people have all these funnels already set up. And how am I going to learn the funnels and the tech and the this and the that? What advice do you have?
Right. So the first thing is to take a nice deep breath, at least one or two or three, and to know that you don't have to build it all today. You don't have to do it all today. You don't have to be it all today. And I say that because certainly social media does a lot to put pressure on people's growth and evolution and people's aspirations, right? And so often when we get in those places of being triggered, it's because somebody's come out with a new thing. It's fabulous. Or somebody's bragged about the latest launch or that, you know what I mean? So we need to like just go, okay, take a breath. You know, they're living their best life. We want the best for them. But now what feels most important to me? And this is about how we learn how to keep our own counsel. What feels most important to me and where is it that I want to focus my time and my energy and my attention? In the context of the book, I walk you through a process where the first thing we do is we address your relationship with money and doing business. So what's in there that you may have inherited unbeknownst to you or beknownst to you, but no idea how to fix it or shift it or transform it. But we get up in there. Like, what are all of the things that you've inherited, right, about money? And how has that impacted the way in which you've actually operated in the context of your finances? Whether it's you've chosen to take a job that provides security, but it's something that you hate to do, or whether it is that you've chosen to be more reckless in reaction to not wanting to take a job. You feel what I mean? Like, we're all along the continuum, right? Some of us in reaction to, some of us conforming, some of us some mixture of the two, which is often what I find, right? Is that it's a mixed bag. So the first thing is to really get to an honest and true place and ask yourself, what is the relationship that I want to have with resource? And what is the relationship I want to have with doing business? And what is the relationship that I want to have when I think about the work that I want to be doing in the world, when I think about who I want to be serving, when I think about what it is that I want to be offering to the world? So the first half of that second section of the book, we get underneath what's there, what's the limiting beliefs. And after we take you through the process of releasing those, we then ask you the question about your vision. And in the question around your vision, you actually get to look at, like, what is my money truth? You know, everybody's walking around here talking about like seven figures and multi-million and, you know, and now, you know, somebody, and I joke about this in the book, somebody told me the other day, $1 million is chump change. I'm like, to who? You know, do we still realize that half of the world lives on just barely over $2 a day? So when we say $1 million is chump change, what are we really, you know, what are we really saying? And is that really what we believe? And where are we getting that from? And so, you know, this opportunity really slowed down and kind of look at, like, wow, who's in my head about this? And where do I get these notions? But to get to a place of, in this money truth conversation, to get to a place of what is really enough for me? You know, for some people, your vision is vast. The way that you want to express yourself, you know, is vast. And so a lot of resources are really aligned with your spirit. for other people, you're like, if I can have 3 or 4 really good vacations, live in a beautiful home and not want for anything, like anytime I want to do the thing, it's not a concern, I'm good. And so I invite you to get true about that. And then from there, we start to talk a little bit about your personal economy and how do you create an economy that aligns with your values? Meaning, how do you learn to do business in a way that honors, one, where you want to be spending, what you want to be perpetuating through your own dollars and cents, and then two, how you want to be earning and what is it that you want to offer to the marketplace and who is it that you want to serve and what's the solution or the opportunity that you want to offer. So we look at your proposition, what I call your values aligned proposition. And once you get clear about what that is, then there's the opportunity to consider how you begin to share that in the world and the strategies for how you share that, whether you work in a company or whether you're building your own venture or expression or you're freelancing and pollinating in different places. The fundamental opportunity is to get really clear about what you want to bring in honor of the economy that you want to be forging.
I love that so much. And I think our economies also change with time too. I remember when I first got started, I was like, I would love to just like be able to live. Like that would be great, you know, because that was just my highest point of, that was the highest point I could see at that point in my life. If I could just pay my bills doing what I love, that would be enough. And then once I got there, I started to see, oh, well, I need to pay for graphic designers. And there are all these things that I could do to make my brand even better. So I'll need to have a little bit of extra money. And then it led to some more. And then there have also been times that I looked around and I saw people have these big teams and they're all working together. And I'm like, okay, that's what the next level of success looks like for me, to have this big team around me. And I tried to do that. And I realized I don't want people around me all the time. I don't want to have to manage people. I actually like being alone. So I had to then realize I want to be able to go to Bali for a couple of weeks and not have to worry about the Friday team meetings, et cetera. So sometimes it takes experiencing those different points to realize what it is that you want.
Absolutely true. Yes. Sometimes you need to have what you don't want to know what you do want, which is what you're saying, for sure. You know, and I think this idea of quality of life and quality of experience is important. So if the aspiration comes at the expense of your relationships, at the expense of your health and well-being, at the expense of your joy, are you really succeeding? You know, so I said to you earlier, right? This is where I challenge it, you know, and all of the trappings in the world don't solve that, you know? So lots of people check in the boxes, but if you asked, are they really happy or are they truly fulfilled? Often you would be surprised at the answer. So this question of what is for you, what is yours, what feels aligned with your spirit, what feels right in terms of the way that you want to use your resources and share your resources in the world and express yourself, and what do you really need in order to be able to do that? And then the how. How do you want to do it? And what do you want to experience as you're doing it? And what is it that you want to be putting out into the world as you're doing what you're doing? And who do you want to be serving and making a difference for as you're doing what you're doing? And all of those are important to think about when you consider what is required to make money from an aligned place.
So you know, you've been a coach for so many years and now have transitioned to writing a book and, you know, more of the public figure space, which is different. The way you're spending your time now is different. You're on podcasts instead of perhaps one-on-one interviews. And I think I talk to a lot of people who say, well, I never want to do the public figure thing. I just want to be one-on-one. And I talk to some people that say, I never want to do the one-on-one. I just want to do the public figure thing. What is your experience now thoroughly stepping into both?
That's a great question. You know, it's interesting because my answer to that is I'm always going to want to go for impact, for making a difference. And in whatever way, you know, my prayer always, when I set out in any endeavor, any, you know, morning I get up and I come to greet the day, my prayer is always that I can be of highest service. And so I'm not out here because I need to see my face plastered everywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? That's not the reason why I'm here. I'm here because I understand that we're in a moment in time in terms of the growth and evolution of our consciousness as a human family. And many people are seeking and searching that next level of meaning. And I believe that I can offer something to that conversation that builds on the work of other conversations that have been happening that have led us to this moment and point in time, right? And so I'm here because I humbly believe I have something to bring to the party. And, you know, to the degree to which I need to be seen or known to facilitate that, I'm open to that, you know. And then in terms of the one-on-one, I think on some level, I will always have intimate spaces. It may not be one-on-one, but I will always have intimate spaces where I do the work because that's the place where I learn the most, you know, and I get to see what does the work really look like in the hearts, minds, and spirits of people. And those are the reference points for then how I cultivate, develop, and continue to craft the transformation that I want to be offering in the world. And so, you know, I call that having my ear to the ground. I will always, on some level, have my ear to the ground, you know, in whatever way that may look like. But I tend to like to work intimately because I'm a girl that likes to go deep. So I think that will always be on some level a part of the equation. But the public thing is more than anything, and this is, I say this because I believe that this is the case for most of us at this point in the game. We don't just want to succeed. We want to succeed as us. We want to be in the truth of who we are more than anything. And I think for me, more than anything, it's about me being in the practice of being in the truth of who I am, regardless of what arena I may be in. If I can do it as me, I'm all for it. Otherwise, I have to consider that differently.
I love that. And I think that there are some souls that really operate well with the one-on-one intimate, and some souls that are just like real, like Gabby, who you've worked with for so many years, like she just thrives, you know, speaking on big stages in more of an educational role and really finding where your soul feels most at home.
Yeah. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And we need both, you know, all of the above.
Yes. And I'd also love to talk about the other side of that. You know, I know a lot of people have a fear of fame. They have a fear of people in their personal life. And that's why they're afraid of putting their face out there, because they don't want everyone in their business. And I never felt that way. But now that I've experienced like getting stopped in supermarkets and things like that, I'm like, whoa, like, I mean, I'm in no way a celebrity, but it's almost like, wow, I have to operate in a different way in public now because there's this image of me in the public that might be different than how I'm acting in that moment. And, you know, it just makes you almost feel like you're being watched a little bit. And that's something that I've been even struggling with for a bit. So what advice do you have for people who are either afraid of fame or coping with the, you know, being recognized and being known more?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the invasion of privacy is definitely a concern for all of us. You know, I think we live in a world right now where it's like, you know, is there even such a thing? You know, there's a question about whether or not there is such a thing as privacy anymore. But I think this idea of practicing good boundaries is important, you know, and I think that that's an important practice, whether you're looking to be more in the public eye or not, and having a real clear sense of where those boundaries are. In other words, where are you open to allowing access and where are you not open to allowing access, and really being willing to keep the things that are personal to you and intimate to you sacred, and how you treat them, and not succumb to this pressure that can sometimes say that, well, in order to grow fans, or well, in order to prove that you're human, or well, in order to do, you know, you do all kinds of outlandish things. You know, you always have to come in and consult your spirit about what is in alignment and what's in integrity for you. Right. And so I think whether it's, you know, being stopped in the supermarket and, you know, or whether it's, you know, being out somewhere, I think there's a bigger conversation about what is important to you in how you want to show up in any moment, you know, and what is the grace and the freedom that you're willing to give yourself in any moment so that you don't become a prisoner to your fame, right? Which is what you're talking about, right? And many people struggle with that because unfortunately we live in a society where, you know, we like to build people up and rip them down. And it's the rip them down part, I think, that a lot of people are more fearful of, right? So not just the invasion of privacy, but the persecution kind of energy and that sort of that place where people want to really then come in and attack and sort of knock you off that a lot of us fear. And so it becomes then that being seen as dangerous, you know, and it can trigger past traumas. It can trigger a lot of different things. And so in those particular cases, it's important that you do the internal work to care for yourself so that you're not sort of out in situations where you don't feel like you're being well cared for, whether you're the person that's leading that care and how you set boundaries and just honor and care for yourself, or whether you're in environments that are not conducive to your well-being. And we all have to make decisions about that, because sometimes when you have that notoriety, you can be tempted. You can be tempted to do things that you normally wouldn't do, and, you know, find yourself in places where you're struggling with your own personal values and integrity. And so, you know, regardless of what level you're arriving at or evolving to, your values got to come with you. Wherever you're going, my suggestion is that you bring your values along, you know, because if you're standing rooted and grounded and can own how you're showing up in any context, then the threat of someone being able to diminish you is less of a threat.
So much to say to that. And yes, I think we all feel that pressure to be more authentic and reveal more of ourselves, because that's what people want. And it can make people share things that they may not have fully healed, fully brought back into balance. And then I think another big thing is the cancel culture, just that culture of if someone does something that you don't like, you'll call them out. And I think the reason why people are doing it is because they're trying to protect and they're trying to talk about important issues, but it turns into a lot of witch hunting. And a lot of people are afraid of being on the opposite end of that, saying their political views, saying, you know, how they really feel, because they're so afraid of the haters and the criticism that they're going to receive on that. And as, you know, a social activist and someone who's very politically active yourself, how do you cope with like taking a stand on something, especially politics, while not inviting in, you know, the criticism and the, you know, sometimes shame from other people that come with sharing that?
Yeah, you can't control that. And it's interesting because it isn't just necessarily about whether or not you share your political views. You could put on a dress.
Yeah.
And take an Instagram photo and people have a whole lot to say about it, right? So part of what we have to do as people who are committed to making a difference and committed to bringing light to the world is we have to do that internal fortification work where we are not so externally focused on everyone else's opinion and that need for validation. Now, I know that that can be easier said than done, right? Because those full frontal attacks can hurt, right? But you have to be clear about, you know, where you're standing and that there's a, that that's a practice for you, so that when you're raising your voice, you're raising your voice that's really aligned with what you believe, and not raising your voice because you think you should raise your voice or because somebody called you out and said you should raise your voice and have something to say about this. And then you're up in the mix of something that you don't even understand, right? I think this cancel culture is really profound in the sense of, I don't ever deem myself as the authority on policing anyone. I think there are opportunities to engage in conversations where we get to learn and we get to grow. In other words, if actions happen or things get said. But I think social media is not the forum for that. I have never seen anything resolved, quite frankly, through social media. So I think for people who care about the issue, and people who want to engage in positive forward discourse around the issue, you can find ways to link up, have dinner, have a phone conversation. You know what I mean? There are other ways to do that. But I think for this idea of being afraid of being canceled, it's not anything that you can ever control. And it can't be a reason. Well, it is, I know, for us, but I'm saying to you, this is where the call to courage. You know, it can't be, you can't give that your power. You know what I mean? In other words, you can't let that take your voice. And so you know, I keep coming back to what's important to you? What do you really care about? What are you really willing to stand for? So you got to answer those questions for yourself, because that will then help guide the decisions about where you do take a stand and where you may say, you know what, I'm not really clear about how I feel about this. So let me not succumb to pressure and jump into something that I don't feel like I can really stand behind. If you feel like you can stand behind it, then you stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think it comes to choosing your battles, but also don't be afraid of the battle.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times we think, well, I'm not a politician, so I shouldn't say something about it, or I'll receive if I post something political. Stay out of it. That's not your, I don't follow you for that reason, thinking that we're this one-dimensional person and only have this one area of our lives, when politics affects every single person. So I think inviting that, and even if someone doesn't have the same political views as you, that doesn't mean now you have to unfollow them and cut them out of your life forever. Having that discourse and having it be meaningful. I think most people are just so isolated from people with different opinions than them that social media is their only place. But then because there's no human connection there, it just turns into a bunch of rants without the reading and understanding.
Yeah. And we all have to build the capacity to have real dialogue, which is something that unfortunately many of us were sorely lacking, because we're not taught how to really engage in dialogue, how to sit in different perspectives. When we look at the upper echelons, I mean, the highest leadership of our world, we are not seeing that modeled well. Let's be honest. You know what I'm saying? And so where do we learn that? How do we build those capacities? How do we build those skills? Sometimes for me, if I'm getting critical feedback, my decision is to listen. Like, and not feel like I have to come back. I don't have to have a comeback. Sometimes maybe what I just need to do is receive your communication and let you know I've received your communication. Received. It's amazing. It takes me 2 seconds to write, received. Thank you. Done. So I also, you know, again, this is a real growing edge, I think, Sahara, for a lot of us, you know, in terms of what does it really mean to engage? Why are we engaging? What is our ultimate goal? What is our ultimate aim? Can it best be achieved through the mediums that we're operating in? And does it have to be as cut and dry as you're right or I'm wrong? Or do we have room and space for multiple perspectives and insights? Really, really important.
Love that so much. Well, you dive into this and so much more in your book, The Calling. So where can listeners get your book and connect with you further?
Thank you so much for asking. So movethecrowd.me, like move.me/thecalling. You can comment. And of course, we're in all of the outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, et cetera, Hudson Books, et cetera. The book is also on Audible. Shout out to all of you who have been like, I just want to listen to it. Like curl up and just put the headphones in. But you can get them on all of the major platforms, any major retailer where books are sold. And then if you come into our movethecrowd.me/thecalling or thecallingmovement.com, I got all kinds of additional goodies for you and resources that go with the book. And it would be my joy to share those with you. So the URL is also in the book, as well as the ones I've just mentioned.
And I will share that link in the show notes. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. You have this like Mama Gaia energy that's just like so soothing, but also calls us to action. And I absolutely love it. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Sahara, for having me. And thank you so much for your work and all of the ways that you're helping to uplift and elevate and ignite this next generation of light. We need y'all. We need y'all. So thank you.
Thank you. How good was that episode with Ra Goddess? I swear I could listen to her wisdom forever. Being around her just feels like such soothing, warm, kapha, mama bear, loving, earthy energy. I'm sure you got those same vibes. So I just love talking to her. And she also has that pitta spark. It's like, you know, get out there, do good, get paid, stay true to who you are. So absolutely love her. So be sure to check out her new book, The Calling. I highly recommend it. And if you want more inspiration like this, I have experts like Ra Goddess, so many others, guests from the Highest Self podcast available for you in small group discussions in Rose Gold Goddesses. So if you're ready to really step it up in your spiritual practice, you're ready for support, you're ready for content, you're ready to dive deeper than just, you know, the surface level, but really be part of a community that will take you there, especially in this transitional time, then I invite you to join us in Rose Gold Goddesses. You can find that over in my link in my show notes, rosegoldgoddesses.com. And I'm so excited to meet you inside. If you loved this episode, I would love to send you a free gift, which is the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type. This is a different book than Eat Feel Fresh, my first book ever, which is not released anywhere. And I am gifting it exclusively to those who leave a review of my podcast in the iTunes store. So all you got to do is head over to iTunes, where you may be listening to this podcast, and leave a review. Take a screenshot that you've left it and email it over to me at sahara@eatfeelfresh.com. Again, that's Sahara, S-A-H-A-R-A, at eatfeelfresh.com. And I will send you back the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type, which goes all into Ayurveda, doshas, plant-based nutrition, body types, all of the things in a really fun and engaging way. So this is my gift to you for free for supporting the podcast. Every single review I personally read, it really helps the podcast be listened to by more people so we can raise the vibration of the planet together. And I am so grateful to have you on this journey. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Namaste.